Hello and welcome to another episode of the Duct Tape Marketing Podcast. This is John Jantz, and my guest today is Demian Farnworth. He is the Chief Content Writer at Copyblogger and Rainmaker, participates in not only their content production and strategy, but also participates in some of the podcasting that they're doing over there in the network at Copyblogger and Rainmaker.fm. So, Demian, thanks for joining me.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, John.
So I love to tear apart titles sometimes. And boy, I have interviewed some people with some really interesting titles. But what does a chief content writer actually do?
Yeah, so I was talking to Jared about this the other day. Basically, my job is to write stuff. So what that boils down to, my responsibilities pretty much amount to this, writing a pretty much a weekly substantial article for the Copyblogger blog. And then any side projects that we have going on behind the scenes, landing pages, PDFs, ebooks, any sort of extracurricular side projects we might have going on. So
you already, I was going to ask about this and you already mentioned it. The long, substantial, thoroughly researched piece the Copyblogger has a person, that is assigned to. I mean, is that where the bar has been raised today? I mean, the idea that a business owner could crank out a couple 500-word blog posts in a week and call it done, I mean, is that dead? I mean, do we have to have this committed department of writers?
That's a good question. I think it just depends upon where you're at and what's your niche, your competitive and how you can, carve out, I guess, space in that. And of course, when Brian started back in 2006, there were people in the field, but he, approached copywriting with a very unique, kind of punk ethic. And so that drew a ton of interesting people to the table. And so, and I think now, for a company like Copyblogger, who is in some sense, an industry leader, right, we have to, it's a responsibility for us to create content that is well-researched. And I think too, a lot of big companies, you've probably seen this happen too, is a lot of big companies are hiring marquee names just for the name alone because they got their own audience in some sense. And we've always sort of been that way too. It's like, we love our favorite, writers or publishers or columnists and stuff like that. So in some sense, they're picking up, they're allowing a writer to build their own personal brand and not, kind of policing what they do on social media, but just, letting them, honoring their talent and their discipline and letting them run.
One of the things that I've seen change, there was this, I have to always throw this plug in so Brian can listen to this. I had been blogging for about 3 years by the time Brian started. And there used to be this huge blog every day. It's like your journal. You need to be writing something in there. And I'm seeing more and more people who actually generate a significant amount of SEO ranking, traffic, backlinks, shares, all those things that have said, instead of writing 5 or 6 posts a week, write one, but just make it 2,000 words or whatever is going to be enough to tell the story, create a checklist with it, have a video element to it. Would you say that approach for the person that maybe doesn't have the team of writers is the way to go today?
I think so. Yeah. Because, as the sort of business owner, you're also the subject matter expert, and so always having it in your voice is great. But yeah, it's creating something that's substantial and that stands out. I think of people like Marcus Sheridan, and with his pool company and creating content for that. He just basically answered consumers' questions is what he did. But yeah, but creating something of value, because we always talk about you've got to do something that people actually want, and so you have to be familiar about what that kind of stuff is. So there's some research that needs to be done, but I think that's a great way to do it, because I was talking to James Altucher the other day, and he was talking about now we've kind of reached a point where we are now what people are like, our blogs themselves are just vehicles, and they get us to the point which is now what we and our content, whether it's consulting or kind of selling a membership site or selling books or selling some other kind of product line, software or something like that, ultimately. I think a lot of people have success with that, once a week long form type of content. It's the promotion side of thing that really matters, though, at that point.
Yeah. Well, so one of the things I want to let people off the hook on, though, and you mentioned Marcus with his pool company, his spa company. Mm-hmm. I do think there are a heck of a lot, a lot of times we content marketers tend to really say, this is how it has to be done because this is what works for us. Right. And I know sometimes I think we don't have the view of what that pool company or that remodeling company or that plumber has. And in some cases, just I still think there's a great opportunity to answer questions, to do things that are going to really help you on the local level. And I think it sometimes can be intimidating when people like you and I sit around and say, no, you have to write 2,000 words and thoroughly researched. I think there's still a place for a lot of businesses.
Yeah, no, that's why, anybody, especially like those, hyper-local people, chiropractors, dentists, whatever, it's like, first step is to research. Find out what your competitors are doing, because a lot of times in that situation, they're not doing anything. And so it's really the barrier to entry is low then at that. And you don't have to do that, that much of work. But like, find out who your customer is. Always, like, any kind of content creation, it always begins with knowing who your customer is and then knowing what the competition, what the market looks like, because that's where you have to start.
Yeah, and I've said this more than once on this show. Go look at your sent email. You've probably written, 100 blog posts just answering people's questions. So that could be a great place to look.
It's a great place to repurpose content, yeah.
So how do you – again, this idea of content, a lot of times that's like content strategy is I wake up on Monday and decide what to write. How do you truly marry content and your overall marketing strategy, your overall marketing objectives? Because I see a lot of people that there's a huge disconnect there. It's content for content's sake rather than for some specific intention.
Well, like I sort of mentioned a few minutes ago, is that idea. It starts with the consumer, and depending on how long you've been in the business, you're going to have a pretty good handle on who that is. But if you don't know, then start asking very specific questions. Start digging. Sit down with Joanna Weeb. She says like you only really have to conduct like 10 to 12 interviews with consumers, sort of like very deliberate interviews with them to find out like to get 90% of what you need to know. And I think that is so helpful. Has been, because then, like we talked about, it's like the questions that we answer, the questions that they ask, what are they worried about? What do they hope you can accomplish for them? Why do they like you? What do they hope you can do for them? And when you start getting those answers, then you start looking at, so you know what's being asked, and then you say, okay, are those questions being answered outside of that, like in your market? And then once you figure that out, then you can have a better understanding. Okay, so like all this kind of basic stuff, maybe I don't need, but maybe I need to go mid-level and start answering some of these stuff. Although I do recommend everybody, like, assume nothing. If you're starting a blog, assume nothing. Assume your consumer knows nothing, and just start from the very beginning.
So one of the other things that I see people doing a lot, again, is they think, okay, I start this blog, I start writing about stuff. Maybe that gets me some traffic. Maybe that gets me some links. But how do we start thinking in terms of the customer journey with our content? So in other words, step one is somebody has to find me. They have to become aware of that maybe I'm a smart guy. But how do we then use content to move them to the point where they not only trust me, they want to buy from me, they want to talk about me, they want to refer me? I mean, do you at CopyBlogger think in terms of sort of the intention for various forms of content?
Yeah, absolutely, we do. I mean, we have one of the ways you talk about the customer journey. We see it from they show up whether by social or by search. And then they subscribe, and they may join a newsletter, and then eventually join, Authority, our membership site. And inside that membership site, we get a lot of questions, but people are asking. You can just sort of roll through the forums and see what questions people are asking, and then we can kind of, sort of understand where people are at, in their strategy or in their business, in sort of development, when it comes to the content strategy and stuff. And so, yeah, we look at those sort of things. We look at, having a Facebook group is another way to sort of elevate the relationship that you have with your consumer or your prospect. So just moving them kind of through that journey, from however they end up, whether it's referral. And there's so many, there's so many touch points in which they can begin that journey. They usually take a pretty typical path, through there, through your content, maybe calling you, emailing, and, having that email list, and then, continue to elevate that conversation.
But I think a lot of people miss that idea. You know, everybody's used to FAQs, for example, as a form of content. Well, to me, FAQs are very specific. They're somebody doesn't typically come to CopyBlogger and say, I think I'll check out the FAQs. They come there, they read some stuff, they maybe learn about authority course, and then they want to know, well, how's this going to work for me? What if I don't like it? You know, that kind of stuff. And I think you have to think in terms of where that content is, you know, in the journey, and think about, you know, where you have gaps in kind of guiding people on that journey.
Exactly. Yeah, another thing we do too is we sort of just look to, like, you know, what's going on in the industry and like what needs to be talked about. As I said before, you know, an industry leader is kind of a responsibility to comment at least on, you know, what's our stance on whether, you know, ad blockers or Facebook policy change or something like that, you know.
So obviously the first goal is getting traffic, getting somebody to maybe be attracted to your headline. But, you know, what are some of your current kind of must do practices to make your content more engaging, you know, more useful kind of throughout? If you're going to write this longer form content, obviously the bar is higher because it better keep me engaged for 2,000 words. That's a big investment.
That is a huge investment, yeah. And it's write about people, like write stories, you know. And I always, you know, my wife tells me all the time, I love your articles, the ones where you start off, you open up with a story, you know, whether you made it up just to prove a point or it's actual, you know, you're relating something. But, you know, I think his name is Ken Berger, you know, great sports writer. That was his advice to young cub writer, you know, reporters, was write about people, and ultimately so you can keep that train of that because it's what we want to read about and that's what we're interested in. People that you relate, of course, your audience can relate to, but also too, you know, using subheads throughout and you know, offering and promising, you know, to solve meaningful problems for people, because I think a lot of times we see these great big, you know, guides and stuff like that. That's like, yeah, you know, like nobody really kind of cares that much about that. So, you know, you've invested all. So it's good to know, like, what are the big, you know, what are the big issues that your customer's grappling with? And because really often it's like, if you can find out what the customer's grappling, what their problems are, and you can show that you understand that you understand it and you can solve it for them, it's really not like that hard to keep their attention, because yeah, they want to know. Like, you know, and so a formula that I like to use is the problem agitate formula. So you open up with the problem like that they can relate to, then you sort of agitate it, make them like say, if you don't fix this problem, this is what could happen. And so it's like, it's sort of like a doctor, like telling you like 80% of him talking to you is about like the bad things happen if you don't have the surgery or take this medication or something like that, you know, and then he offers the solution. You're like, yeah, of course I want that solution. So.
Right. So in the early days, particularly, I think now that there's a lot of writers, there's probably more diversity at Copyblogger, but I told Brian, I think a great deal of his success came because he was so good at writing headlines. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, titles to blog posts. How much time and energy do, you know, folks at Copyblogger put into that one element?
I don't know about the rest of them, but like I know that I put a good deal, like those, that's easily the part that I've always sort of agonized over and still agonize over. And I've got a pretty thorough process I go through in finding them. But even after that, sometimes, you know, the headline may be changed on the backside. So I know we put a lot of emphasis in, and I always, because we have, when I'm talking to our editor or Pamela, who's sort of over the blog, it's just like, mm-hmm. We always talk about the emphasis that has to be on headlines. And I'm like, you know, we're having discussions behind the scenes, like, you know, if a headline goes up and I'm like, yeah, that's just not working. You know, it's like, here, you know, what do you think about this? Can we change that? Because really, you know, as you sort of alluded to, it's like a great headline can make or break, you know, an article on social media, you know, so it really kind of starts there. And of course, we want to get their attention, hopefully get them to read it.
What role, you know, people are invested. It used to be, you know, the common wisdom was, well, yeah, you need to have a picture. That's nice with your thing. But with your blog post, for example, people seem to be investing a tremendous amount in creating custom graphics and creating images that have content or context, at least, in them as well. So what role do images play, you think, in helping kind of launch that story?
I think So if it's just an image for, you know, just sort of like the top of the page introduction image, I think they're useful. And but, you know, if we're talking about those images that like actually bring the point home, or there's something that the reader can walk away with, like easily I can look at all of my articles that I wrote, the ones that have some sort of, whether it's a checklist or it's you know, it's a downloadable PDF, you know, infographic, something like that, have through vanity metrics like social media, of course, you know, but have far exceeded, you know, plus traffic, have far exceeded anything else I've ever written. So I think it's, as far as I think it's you're, you know, if you don't have to do this with every article, and we don't, and because of just the resources, but if you can do like once a month, and that's what we kind of shoot for. We try to shoot for like one good infographic a month, you know, a slide share once a month, and some sort of PDF, you know, checklist download once a month, like that. So, because, you know, you don't want to overload people with stuff, but you also have those resources for them. I think it's important. I think it helps out a lot.
Yeah. So I have two questions. I can't figure out which one I want to ask next. Do you think, again, going back to that, and this ultimately will just be an opinion, I think, from you, but going back to that that time-strapped business owner that doesn't have a, you know, a writing department or a content department, how would you suggest that those kind of folks that you know, they're not – content's not their whole business. Content just is a way to drive their marketing. How do they get it done?
It's great. Yeah, so, you know, it doesn't have to be – now, we should probably explain. It doesn't have to be – like everything you create doesn't have to be an article. I mean, if you're more comfortable sitting in front of a camera, then do that, you know, and then try to get, you know, a transcript out of that. But if like, you don't want to do video but you really don't have time to write it down – like I love it, you know, when people like will say what they want to say, and then taking that and then working that into an article, because it's often, you know, what it is, what it ends up being, really. And again, like, you know, knowing like the sophistication of your audience, which again I'm saying it's probably going to be basic and assume nothing, but you don't have to, you know, go to great lengths to kind of achieve that goal. But yeah, but you know, if they want to, you know, use some sort of tool to record it and then have somebody else transcribe it, that'd be great, you know, or do a video or do a podcast or do some sort of audio or something like that. But always, you know, I think what you want, especially for like hyper-local businesses that depend upon, you know, the search and the signals that they get from that, you know, having the transcript there helps, having a great headline that's, that, you know, even if it's like, you know, like, what do I do if my back pain is like, you know, too much in my lower back or something like that, being very specific about that.
Well, and I think you hit on one of the I think greatest investments that a typical, you know, local business can make is find somebody who can take what you've written and turn it into an article. And I think that where a lot of people get stuck is they think, well, I'm the doctor, you know, or I'm the lawyer, right. You know, I can't hire somebody to write that. And the key is just, you know, start talking, you know, talk into a recorder, let that person then take the expertise and turn it into something that actually gets done. I think it's probably, you know, $100 a week, a couple hundred bucks a week, you know, all of a sudden you're getting a lot of your content need created in a way that's going to serve you.
And you can look, a great place to look is like at your local college or university, you know, in a creative, you know, look at the English department or the creative writing department, and they're like, you could get people for fairly inexpensive to do that.
Yeah. But you do have to still invest in it, and you still have to put some time in. I think the mistake a lot of people make is they'll either hire somebody like that, or they'll use one of these services that have cropped up to produce content and give them a couple keywords and think that person's going to spin out, you know, great content for you. You still got to put something into it so that it stays accurate, it stays relevant, and stays in your voice.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's the point. It stays in your voice because that authority needs to be transferred to like, okay, I actually know this person. I trust this person. That's key.
Yeah, because I think the days of sort of warmed over 500 words really not going to do you much value. Used to be you could get away with it because at least you got some SEO bang out of it, but I don't even think you get that anymore.
No.
So let's talk about podcasting. You guys have invested in an entire network, really, of podcasting, pretty much gone all in. What's the status? Again, remember I'm talking about not just to marketers, but to business owners that are looking for ways to market their business. What do you think is the status of that generally in terms of being a marketing tool?
Podcasting?
Yeah.
I think that I think that it's growing. Like, I, you know, I sort of struggle with this, especially for like the local sort of guy or girl, because I think like, you know, we found one of our chiropractors that we used, we found because he had like a really short morning show bit segment, you know, segment. And so it's, and in my mind, really, you know, that's terrestrial radio, but that's kind of what podcasting is. So the struggle, I think, with podcasting is, though, is like reaching an audience. You don't, you know, if you're on the radio, then you already have a ready-made audience. With podcasting, you have to build that audience. And so you have to go through the steps of the promotion and audience building. So, you know, if you already have, if you're kind of like, a leader in the community, and it's really just about networking and promotion and just being, because like the people who've done this successfully well, as you know, and you've done yourself, is about self-promotion. It's about growing that audience and sharing the stuff and just showing up day in and day out and creating, you know, creating that content, whether it's, you know, it's a weekly podcast or whatever. And again, if it's meaningful stuff that people want and need, then, you know, that it will get shared and that audience will eventually grow.
Yeah, and I like to let people off the hook a little bit, because I think there are a lot of people that think, well, how do I build an audience and what if nobody listens? I think you're producing great content. So if you view that as an asset, it's worth the time investment. I'll tell you the other little secret that I've told hundreds and hundreds, no, thousands and thousands of people now, mm-hmm. is that it's also a great tool to get access. So if you're even a local business and you want, let's say your target market are you know, mid-level CEOs, start interviewing mid-level CEOs. Just find out what their mid-size, I should say, CEOs. You know, find out what their pain points are, their successes are. You might actually be talking to a prospect in the name of doing an interview. And
exactly.
And I think then all of a sudden it's like, oh, okay, now that makes sense for me to invest my time and energy in it.
Well, so, I love that strategy too, because like, especially when you're like, you are. Interviewing and then sharing content about people within that community, because people love to talk about themselves and they love to, like, you know, even if it's just kind of a sort of a, you know, small time podcast, that, you know, they're going to share that with their friends and family. So you're eventually, you know, going to, you know, build an audience that way too.
Well, and again, you're building that asset as well,
right?
Because, you know, you look up and you've got 12 shows like that that you can put on a page on your site, and all of a sudden, you know, that's some pretty great content.
Exactly.
So let's end up today talking about – we've talked all about this writing great content, which is certainly – I don't know. Is it half of it even? but the other half, of course, is, you know, how do you get that content out there? How do you encourage people to share? So I wonder if you could maybe share a little bit about what – you know, what's the copy blogger kind of routine, you know, once I hit publish?
As far as our content goes, our articles?
Yeah. What do you guys do to make sure that – I mean, obviously, you've got a large following. You have lots of subscribers that it gets pushed out to. But,
right.
you know, what do you do to try to, you know, amplify and maximize?
So, yeah, above and beyond, because there is the daily newsletter that gets pushed out with the blog post. So I think making sure people have, like, you know, giving people options to either subscribe via an RS feed or like Feedly or something, but you know, also to describe, you know, what you really want is the email inbox. And so then we also of course share, we typically, if we have a particular piece that we want to, you know, promote, we'll go either site wide or just like, you know, editorial, say, hey, can you please share this on your, you know, your social media site. So we encourage people with that inside the company, and then we'll reach out to a few, you know, influencers outside if we've written about them in that particular article.
Sure.
to make mention that, hey, we've quoted this, would you mind sharing it, you know, with your audience. And then of course on our own, you know, as an author of a particular piece, I got a lot of investment in sharing that. So, you know, I'm just kind of go crazy on my own social media site, sharing that content too and everything. So, and we don't do this, but I know that some people, like Alex over, I think at Groove HQ, he has like an influence. A lot of people have like influencer list where they kind of build this, like, you know, this insider group email list of people who will, you know, promise to share each other's content and stuff like that. And so yeah, I know that it worked successfully well for him. Shane Snow from Contently, he did that too and stuff. So
yeah, and again, taking that down to the local business, you know, every local business ought to have 8 or 10 or 12 strategic partners that they might actually be doing that with. It doesn't, you know, I think a lot of times people get turned off. I mean, you know, we use the words influencers and influence marketing and podcasting, and sometimes people get turned off because of what they see or perceive as, you know, what that means. Well, you can take it down to the tiniest level you want, and it'll still have some real benefit.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, Demian, thanks so much for joining me. I know.
Thank you, John.
You guys are doing great things at Copyblogger. I've obviously been a fan, and you know, Brian and I often tease each other. He's saying that we were the first ones talking about internet marketing for not for slimy people or something like that.
Right, exactly. No, it was an honor to be on your show. Thank you, John. I appreciate it.
Well, you take care, and I guess I'll throw you a bone and say, hopefully we can have a Royals Cardinals World Series by the time somebody's listening to this. They may know
exactly
well how that turned out. But we're recording this actually on the first day of the playoffs for the 2015 season. So hopefully we'll maybe we'll come over there to I'll get some tickets. We'll come over there and cheer on my Royals.
Sounds good, man.
All right, thanks, John.
Bye bye.